Today, I'd like to talk with you about the resurrection power that's at work in the Christian. Is there actually resurrection power of Christ already at work in you? Or is that just something that we're looking forward to when Christ returns and comes to raise up our bodies at the last day? Is there actually already at this current moment, power of the resurrection at work inside of you? Let's take a look at that today and see what God would teach us about it through His Word, the Bible, inerrant and infallible, the Scriptures. Now, first of all, as we think about this, when we think about resurrection power as Christians, where do we normally look? We look back behind us in time, 2,000 years or so, to Christ's resurrection. And that was super power. If you think about Matthew 28, it was after Christ was died, he was buried. On the third day, he rose again. And we read that early in the morning, at dawn of the first day, Mary Magdalene and some others went to the tomb. And an angel of God ascended, rolled back the stone, sat upon it, and said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." So that is resurrection power. That is super resurrection power behind us about 2,000 years ago. And we often looked at that as Christians. Amen? We also, as Christians, look forward to the future for resurrection power. That's often how we think of it, that we also will be raised at the last day by our Lord Jesus. He says, "Whoever sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." If you read over in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, this is one of my favorite verses. Of course, they're all my favorites. But it says this, Paul says, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit which dwells in you." So that's when our bodies, mortal flesh, right now perishable, will be raised imperishable, clothed with immortality and victorious glory forever at the return of our Lord. So that's where? In the future. So far there's resurrection power behind us 2,000 years ago. There's resurrection power ahead of us, for which we don't have long to wait at Christ's return to raise our bodies. But I want to ask, is there resurrection power already at work inside of you as a Christian, even currently, right now? You know, most Christians don't think of it that way. We think, yeah, okay, there's power in that we're justified by faith in Christ. We're right with God. We're saved people. But resurrection power? I don't really think I have resurrection power in me right now, right? I don't feel that much different from Joe Unbeliever down the street. Is there really power inside of me of the resurrection? Well, let me ask you a question here. Is God, do you think, waiting for the end of the age to pour down upon you resurrection power of Christ? Is that something we have to wait for in the future, or has he already done it, at least in part? Well, the answer to that is, marvelously, he's already done it. And there is resurrection power inside of you as a Christian. Let's consider this according to the Scriptures. Are you actually really already raised from the dead? Well, yes, according to the Scriptures, by faith. For Jesus says in John chapter 5, he says, "Truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." What's that? Resurrection. You went from death and you came alive through faith. And then especially that language is used in baptism. Let's open up and read in Romans chapter 6 of what God does for us in baptism. We read here in Romans 6, it says, "Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So what's that? Resurrection. You've already been raised in baptism, buried, drowned, raised up, come alive. And in Colossians 2, Paul says this even more clearly in verse 12. He says, "You were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." So say, raised with him. Say, I am raised with him. And that is through baptism, Paul just said in those two occasions in Scripture. So are you actually already raised? Is there resurrection power already at work in you as a Christian? Answer, absolutely and immeasurably and incalculably, victoriously marvelous in you. Say the word incalculable. That's a tough word to say. It's even harder to grasp how great the power that's already this morning, currently at work in you of resurrection. To understand that more clearly, let's then do this. Let's see if we can compare a believer with an unbeliever to understand better the resurrection power in us. So I have this board up here. This side is the Christian. This side will be the unbeliever, the unsaved, the non-Christian, to recognize the resurrection power that's at work in you today, this morning. Let's consider, first of all, let's consider the eyes up here. If you take an unbeliever, a non-Christian, are their eyes resurrected? Is there power at work in them? We read in Romans 3, "Their feet are swift to shed blood and their paths are ruin and misery. The way of peace they don't know. There's no fear of God before their eyes." So if you look at an unbeliever, what would their eyes look like spiritually? They're closed. So when we talk about being raised from the dead, we're not talking about our flesh, because that's waiting for the resurrection at the last day. We're talking about being raised in our inner man, in our inner person, in our spirit. So their spirit is right now dead. Therefore, they have no eyes to see. Jesus speaks of them, and Paul speaks of them, quoting the Old Testament. "This people's heart has grown dull, their ears heavy of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." Look at that. Their eyes they have closed, "lest they should perceive with their eyes and turn for me to heal them." So their eyes are dead. There's no resurrection power in the eyes of a Christian, of a non-Christian, in their spirit. And so why does this happen to them? Why are their eyes closed? Through hardness of heart, through unbelief, and by the wicked one. Second Corinthians 4, verse 4, Paul says, "In their case, the unbeliever, the god of this world," that's the devil, small god G, "has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's the likeness of God." So they can't see what? Jesus. They can't see the truth. They can't see the kingdom. They can't see the path to walk, and therefore not seeing things in light and walking in darkness and blindness. They stumble and they fall, because they're blind in spirit. How about you, though, as a Christian? Do you have resurrection power at work in your spirit's eyes, in the inner person? Actually, you do. "All things have been delivered to me by my Father," says Jesus. "No one who knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then turning to his disciples, he said to them privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see what you see." So a Christian, what does their eye look like? Their spirit's eyes, your spirit's eyes. They are awake and alive. You can see. What can you see as a Christian in your spirit? You can see Jesus Christ is the Savior. By faith we walk. We can see him in our spirit, right? We can see him up there. We can see where the world came from. We can see what the world is about. We can see the course of history, where we've all been and where we're going. We can see the purposes of God in Scripture. That's all light to us. It's exposed. We can see it. We can see the cross. We can see the resurrection. We can see God at work in our lives. We can see the path that we're to walk, the straight and narrow, in light so that we don't stumble. And we can see the kingdom that is before us on the horizon. Can't you see it right now by faith? The prize to which we're headed, the light of the glory that is to come in the world to come. What's the result of being able to see spiritually with your spirit? God's opened your eyes. "This is the will of my Father," says Jesus, "that everyone who sees the Son, Jesus, and believes in him should have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." And as for our destination, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man perceived, what God has prepared for those who love him, God has revealed to us through the Spirit. So your spirit's eyes are open to see Jesus, the King, and his kingdom shining to which we're going. Praise be to God. Your eyes are open. There's resurrection power at work in you already. Secondly, let's go to the next part of the body. Let's go to the ears. You think you have resurrection power in them too? Well, consider the unbelievers. Do they have power in their ears? No, they're dead. Matthew 13, Jesus says, "This people's heart has grown dull and their ears heavy of hearing, lest they should hear with their ears and turn for me to heal them." So if you look at an unbeliever, are their ears open? Is there power in them? They're dead. There's no resurrection power in their ears. Can you preach to an unbeliever? You can kind of. You can preach to them, but they can't hear it so long as they're unsaved. They only, it goes in one ear and out the other because they don't have ears to hear. That's why Jesus often ends his words, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Because many, they can't hear it because their ears are dead. There's no resurrection power in them at all. How about your ears, though? Are your ears open? Is there resurrection power in your ears, Marion? Absolutely. Let's take a look here. Jesus says in John 10, he says, "He who is enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep do what?" Put the green ears over here. We'll use green over here for life. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they'll not follow, but they'll flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers. So are your ears filled with power incalculable right now from on high? Do you have ears to hear the word of God? Let's give that a test right now, all right? What if I were to stand up here in the pulpit and say to you, "Okay, children, the message for this week is Jesus is just a way and a truth and a life, and all the religions lead to God after all, so, but he's one of the ways, he's our faith tradition." Does that sound good to your ears? No. Why? Because your ears say, "That's a stranger, that's a false teacher to say such a thing." What if I were to say, "Jesus, my people, is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by him." What does your ear say to that one? Yes, that is my Savior's words, my master's speech. So your ears, guys, they are alive. They've been raised in baptism and in faith in the gospel, to believe and to hear your master's good voice. Of the unbelievers, Jesus said to the Jews, you do what you've heard from your father. Who is their father? That is, of all unbelievers, the devil. And when he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. So we're living in a world. What do unbelievers believe? Lies. What do they hear? Lies. And those enter their ears because they're dead. But what enters into our ears is our shepherd's voice. My sheep hear my voice, says Jesus, and they follow me. And what's the great result of that? And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, for no one can snatch them out of my hand. So there's resurrection power, I want you to know, in your ears, hearing the words of the truth of your Lord, King, and Master, Jesus. All right, so we've gotten those two so far. What should we go on to next? How about this one? How about your mouth? You got resurrected lips, friends? Is there resurrection power in your lips? Well, let's take a look at the unbeliever first. What's God say of them? Romans 3. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Psalm 64. They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim bitter words like arrows. Psalm 50. They give their mouth free rein for evil and their tongues frame deceit. How would you describe, Neil, an unbeliever's mouth? Shut. Good one. It's dead. We could even put an unhappy face on there. Because there's no power at work in them except the spirit of this age. Therefore, what do they talk about? What's an unbeliever talk about? Only this world. Only this life. They'll speak lies, and if they speak truth, it's only the truth of this world. Yeah, the Red Sox won the pennant, but they can't say Jesus is Lord because their mouths are dead. There's no power in them. What's our mouth like? Well, we read this, that we are of God. And he who is of God not only hears the words of God, but speaks the words of God. Namely, we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And that can only happen from a resurrected lip. So can you say that? Let's give you a test right now. Do you have resurrection power in your lips? Say, Jesus Christ is the Lord and the only way. Say that. Try that. Very good. So look at that. Out of your lips is coming resurrection power. Your lips are alive. And if you confess with your lips, says the scripture, that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Thus declares the Lord from his mouth. So you're saved by your mouth in the sense that you've confessed God, who then declares to you, you're saved confessing my son. That's amazing. There's power in you, I want you to know. Resurrection power. How about, what's the next part of the body? Let's go. You'll know when the sermon's over when we've gotten through the body. Okay, how about this one? How about your nose? You have a resurrected nose? I bet you didn't wake up this morning and say, he's going to preach to us on resurrected noses today. Probably not. But there is something in the spirit about smells and aromas. There is such a thing in truth. Your spirit can pick up on spiritual smells, interestingly enough. Let's look over here at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul says, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. So, Zuleika, do you have a spirit inside of you that's alive to smell spiritual smells, fragrances, and rottenness? You do, actually. We just read there. You can smell things spiritually. And it's interesting that we can pick it up very quickly. I was in Maine years ago, of course, and I was in the Episcopal Church at the time, many years ago, and we heard a preacher, Beth and I did, who came in, and you know, when he was preaching, Something just stank. It smelled rotten. I was like, there's something rotten in the state of Denmark. Eventually went in and talked with that priest, had to ask him a point blank question. Do you believe that Christ died for our sins on the cross? I asked him. And then kind of a scowl came over his face. No, I've met your kind before, said he. And so I could smell that spiritually in the sermon. I'm like, yeah, something smells here of a wolf. Doesn't smell like a sheep to me. And you know what? That's the strange thing about the devil. Because he can masquerade as an angel of light in appearance, but he can't cover his stench. He stinks, and he has a great stank to him. Stink, stank, stunk. He's like that a wolf, but puts on sheep's clothing. He can look like a sheep, but he can't cover his musky scent. And you know what? In the world, one is a fragrance from life to life. The other is a fragrance from death to death. Those who are of the wolf pack, these unbelievers in the world, let's put them up here, they have a dead nose. They're going to smell their own kind and love their own kind, but hate the smell of a Christian. A Christian, meanwhile, over here we'll put a green nose on this one for alive on a Christian. Our nose loves the smell of the fragrances of heaven and of our Lord Jesus Christ and hates the smell of the wolf pack. There are spiritual smells. Hence, when you meet somebody, maybe for the first time in your life, and they're so different from you, yet they're a Christian, they smell like a rose to you. You smell like a rose to them, and it's as if you've known them your whole life, though you just met them, because we recognize our own. Your spirit has a smell, and you have resurrection power in your nose through the work of God inside of you. Praise God. We can smell already, I think, the fragrances of the flowers of springtime in heaven as we head towards the kingdom. Let's get to the next part of the body. Very briefly on this one, how about your hands? Well, of the wicked, God says in Psalm 58, your hands over here, these guys, you deal out violence on the earth. They use their hands for evil, at least for self-service, not that of others. But as for the believers over on this side of the Proverbs 31 woman, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. So over here, are your hands alive as a Christian? Resurrected power in them? Yeah, you're serving other people. You're putting your hand to the plow, serving the kingdom, helping others for holy purposes they're used. How about your feet? Are there resurrected feet? Dale, do you have resurrected feet? Are they raised? Is there power in them? According to the unbelievers, we read their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. The way of peace they do not know. So unbelievers, where do they go when they walk through life? They tread in forbidden paths, forsaking the paths of righteousness. The harlot, her house sinks down to the death, her paths to the shades, her ways wander, and she doesn't even know it. But of the Christian, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so you walk in the straight and narrow way, in the path in which you don't stumble, and you even, the Bible says, run for the prize, straining forward for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, running the good race of the faith. So Art, are your feet resurrected? Is there resurrected power in those under those sneakers of yours? Don't get into that. Momentum here, my man. All right. How about your mind? We got two more here. You got a resurrected mind power, friends? Think about this. Unbelievers, God says of them, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to their hardness of heart. So their minds are dead, dead to God. Can't perceive anything of the Spirit. How about you? 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says, but we Christians have the mind of Christ. Which means you think God's thoughts after him. You agree with God. You are even now daily being transformed and renewed in knowledge after the image of your Creator. So your mind is altogether new, raised with power in it. You should rejoice in this. And one more, how about your, what's the last one we have here? Our heart. What's the heart of an unbeliever look like according to Scripture? It's a stone, hard as the nether millstone, icy and impenetrable is their heart. Paul says in Romans 2 of the unbeliever, by your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment shall be revealed. So this is the core, the fountain of everything, and it is a dead well. And so they're leading themselves to destruction. But what did God promise us in the Old Testament? Ezekiel 36, and he has done this for us in Christ. God says, a new heart I will give you, and I'll put a new spirit within you. And I'll take out of your flesh the heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and you shall be my people, and I'll be your God. So what is your new heart alive in you right now? No, it knows God. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. You can trust in God, have a living relationship with Him. You don't have to live in fear. He fills it with courage. You don't have to faint. He gives you a fresh spirit. You don't have to live in defeat. He gives you victory. Or in sorrow, He turns your heart also into joy. He takes a dead heart and has made it alive. So there's resurrection power in you. And the Bible says we draw near to God now with a true heart, with in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So back to baptism again. And this took place in the marvelous work there. So in conclusion today, look at these two. There is resurrection power in you. The difference between these two people is Mount Everest, monumental, extraordinary, incalculable. For their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands, and so therefore the idols have mouths but don't speak. They have eyes but don't see. They have ears but don't hear. There's no breath in their mouths, and like them be those who make them. Yea, everyone who trusts in them, dead, dead, dead. But over here, our one we worship is God. He's alive. And therefore, think of this. You have eyes to see Jesus, your Savior. A nose to smell of the fragrances of heaven. A mouth to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Ears to hear His word. Hands to do His will. Feet to walk in His ways. A mind to be made after His likeness. And a heart to know Him. There is resurrection power inside of you already. And we are waiting that day when also our mortal flesh, this outer tent of this body, will also be raised at the last day at Jesus' coming. So take heart today. There is resurrection and power in you right now through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.